If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello, everyone, and welcome once again to the Super Footy Podcast.
Any breaking news around?
Breaking news. Well, I'm just reading off the Fox Sports News tweet.
One of my other employers.
My main employer. Jared Waite will have a hip arthroscope.
Ooh.
And will not be fit until the finals.
It's a bit presumptive, I would have thought.
Well, they're three games clear, Michael.
What are you saying?
Well, I've just had a look at the fixture, and I think it's quite likely that they might not feature in September if they lose their next four, which is quite possible. And Port have got a pretty good run home. They're only three games out. They've got Melbourne, the Suns, and then the Terence Trent Derby.
Who have Port Adelaide got this week?
The Sydney Swans, which they'll lose.
Right.
And then they win their last three. They're already ahead of North on percentage. Yeah, I don't know about that, Jared.
Just let me pick you up on something. Last week you said you were hungry, that Johnny Famichon. And this week you've gone with the Terence Trent Derby.
For the derby, yeah, that's all.
Well, it's not even the derby, it's the showdown. But
oh, right, well, it's not that.
Terence Trent showdown.
You've got to get these things
anyway,
right.
Yeah,
I can't.
Bad news for North.
It is. So I think North, and we'll talk more about it later, I think North, I think they've turned things around a little bit. So,
jeez, it was a pretty poor game.
It was a shocking game. In fact, Roosie was spot on. Roosie was spot on when he said it was a terrible weekend in terms of standard. Friday night was a cracker.
I know you've got milestone fatigue, but just as well for them, because they saved the weekend. There were untold beltings.
I have officially got milestone fatigue.
St Kilda North was horrendous.
Yeah.
Your game, Melbourne Gold Coast, horrendous until the end. Hollywood West Coast, horrendous.
We saw so much, Richard so many Johnson milestones over the weekend that my kids made me chair them off to bed last night.
That's right. Good.
Very good. Why do our kids do that to me every night? So I'm not sure why.
Yeah, actually mine do too.
Yeah. Well, they're not the story though.
No, they're not the story.
And I hate to sound like Bill Murray off Groundhog Day, but the story concerns the club who the sycophant to our left and your right Hutto barracks for, and that is the Richmond Football Club and Michael Warner. Mick, explain yourself.
Gee, it was a bad day, wasn't it? They lost the week by 70. Bad life. Bad 36
two decades.
But the week before against the Hawks, they lost by a similar margin, but at least they were in their game and they had a crack, except for the last quarter. So you could say the last five quarters Richmond have played...
If your coach called you shameful for one game, that would be enough to come out fired up.
So there's something rotten in the joint. It's just a matter of, I think that the next 4 weeks, Sam, what are you doing, mate?
Carry on.
Decide Dimmer, it's fate, or has it already been decided? Like, if they put in four more performances like that, they got Collingwood Friday night, they got a pretty tough draw home.
If they lose
by 100 points, say, for the next 4 weeks,
Geelong, Hawthorne, Sydney,
is it beyond the point of salvation?
I think it's interesting because if you talk about that, I think Brendan Gale clearly and Peggy are on the path of, and they've all come through this together. They're stuck fat through the whole thing, and that makes it extremely difficult to make a call, say, on the coach.
Mm.
But history would say that if there's certain matches that trigger boards, and boards like to say their own skin, it would take a big change.
It looked like that at quarter time.
Well, it did,
it?
Yeah.
You can't take too many more of these.
No, well, but it would take a big change in their...
take a lot to sack him.
Being solidly behind... I'm not sure if Brendan could stay if Damien goes.
I reckon
he could.
I mean, he could from a financial... Like, what they've achieved off the field has been sensational, but... It would take a huge change in the fact that they reappointed him for two more years on the recommendation of Brendan.
But it wouldn't be so much because he can't coach. It's because it's become stale, the club. It's the players as well. But in the end, it's easier to get rid of the coach than all the players.
Well, they're going to get rid of a lot of...
They're going to do that too, aren't they?
Well, they'll get rid of a lot of players.
Let me ask you, Mick. You're well, you're more connected than on, no, pardon, no offence, I wouldn't have thought, but you're more connected than the two of us. I want to ask you now, as we sit here, your feeling, will he coach the club next year?
I think it's more likely than unlikely.
Right.
Makes sense. So, I reckon, but what it's going to take is a massive change around him, and whether that's actually going to happen or not. I'm wondering whether players will want to stay. You know, guys like Deledio, will they?
Well, A, want to stay, but B, how are they going to get players to come there as well? Are they trying to change and improve the list?
That sounds like a given that Dion Preston is going to.
What? Would he want to come?
Well, we're going back here again, are we?
Well, no, from what I know, he's all but at Richmond, or at least, we're live here. But should Richmond give up their first round
this
pick?
This is
for
the
him?
Question.
There's another conundrum.
This
which
is the
looks
question.
Like pick four or five.
Is he worth a first round pick? And if he is, and you give it
it's
up.
He's worth a first rounder.
You don't, no, well,
there's 18 of those.
A four or five, which is your first rounder. Yep. And then you don't have a pick in the second round either. So then you face your pick coming at the moment, on paper anyway. You get Dion Prestia and a third-round pick to start your rebuild.
Well, Dion Prestia would mean that they'd have six A-graders, which is a pretty good start. It's the middle part
of the
list.
Well, that's
the
problem is now they've got five A-graders, yep. And they're all playing well, obviously, yep. Deledio injured, but they've played well all year, pretty much, at least four of the five of them have, and they've still done this. And as you said, it's that massive gap in the middle. And this is where it's so difficult.
And some good kids, it's got to be said.
Yeah.
Gioli, Markov, and a few of these guys.
Well, those early flickers.
But it's the Conker, Ellis,
but how many
Dickery,
out of
middle
contract?
Guys that have
failed
them.
Is
there 10? Oh, there's 16 out of
16
contract.
Out of contract. Well, that gives you... That actually works in your favour. You just got to be aggressive, don't you? You got to be aggressive where you haven't been aggressive before, and all these so-called list cloggers and players who aren't going to take you to your next premiership have just got to go. You got to get aggressive, get them out, get new faces in. And the fact they're out of contract is an ace up your sleeve.
But you can't really get rid of 16 players.
You can't get rid of 16, but you can be more aggressive, because I think Richmond down the years have just been far too... either loyal, slow, patient,
I think
trusting.
And some of those things are good qualities to have, but
I reckon they could play finals next year if they have a massive, shrewd off season.
This review,
I don't think it's like Brisbane Lions who won't play finals.
No, but that's because
years.
Because of the quality they've
because
got
of
at the top.
Quality. And
you've
some
got
of the kids, they've got great facilities. They just need to mix it up.
This review's got to shine a light on every dark, dim nook and cranny of the whole joint. Well, just has to. Recruiting, I mean, it's been horrible. We've spoken about it all the time.
That's where my question lies with Damien, is how much responsibility, and it definitely has to be some, but how much responsibility does he take for the build?
For the mature age.
For the mature ages and just who stays and who goes.
I would have thought if a guy like Taylor Hunt becomes available, the coach has the final say and says, I want him. And same with all of those guys they brought in. Townsend last year from GWS, they probably thought we need a bit more protection in the midfield for Cochin.
So they haven't even played him.
You know what I'd like to see as well?
Because he's probably not up to it.
You know what I'd like to see as well? Is surround him with some real quality, experienced, and when I say experienced, people who have been at successful clubs and won premierships, assistant coaches. Mm. Get people around him who have been there and know what it looks like.
Well, they got Mark Williams.
I know they got Mark Williams.
That's garbage.
What's garbage?
That you get people around you. He's the coach and your coach. He's had 153 games as senior coach. So
I think
he doesn't need people around him to tell him what to do.
I think what's interesting
not telling him what to do.
Is the intel. And it's not just... You can't just... I mean, Fremantle made that mistake potentially of just going to get two people from Hawthorn. A, you've got to have the intel. That's part of it. But you've got to be that sort of coach who can read the game and read the changes in the game. There's no use going to get someone who can tell you.
The cattle to. I'm sure they have read the game.
Well, have they though?
This is the chicken or the egg. Have they got the cattle and haven't been developed properly, or have they not got the cattle? And they are being developed. You know what I mean?
That's what makes it so hard to make the calls.
That's
on
what I mean
things.
With the assistants. It's not so much they're telling Damien what to do, but they're going to be doing things and their faith is going to be put in them by... Damien can't be everywhere all the time, can he?
No.
So, I mean, it's all about bouncing ideas. It's intel, like you say. The best coaches have got... Alistair Clarkson went and got Brett Ratton, coached his own side for... And they bounce ideas each other all the time.
Tim Watson said, Deledio, trade him. What do you think of that?
I think if someone pays overs for Brett Deledio, then you don't hesitate. You get rid of him.
Yeah.
You don't agree?
You'd have to look at it, but I think that's where it can really... If you moved a guy like that on against his will, that just causes major chaos at your footy club. It'd have to be mutual, and I don't know if it would be.
Mm. Well, he's on the record of saying he wants to stay.
Mm.
Yeah, that might change. I think the next month, I think Robbo made the point, the next month...
tells all.
And it's made more difficult because I reckon those a lot of those assistants and people working at the club know that they are gone.
Well, isn't today the day, August the 1st, where they're supposed to find out?
And that makes it very difficult to... I mean, everyone's professional and they'll be trying to do the best they can, but that makes it really difficult, I would have thought.
Yeah. And you talk about whether they can afford to pay him out. Well, the other thing they've got to look at is can they afford another year of no crowds, declining memberships...
I think you'll find that there's plenty of, in the contract, there's, you know...
Wriggle room.
I would have thought
so.
Are
you speaking with authority there?
Well...
Who's his manager?
I'm not sure who his manager is now, but of course it would cost them, but I think you'd find that there would have been some KPIs to be met and all those sort of things. So I don't think it would be the end of the club financially if they had to pay him out.
I know you've spoken about this ad nauseum, Hutto, but that's my beacon rewind. It just jumps out at me again this week of all weeks is that decision to re-sign him for the 2 years. I know Ross Lyon and Fremantle is another kettle of fish altogether, but the two-year extension now, how they must regret that, Richmond. Not that they weren't showing faith in him, I suppose. It's a tough one, isn't it, Mick? Like, you give him one and that's...
a show of strength. They did a thorough review.
But now...
And as Hutto said, maybe there's clauses in there and maybe he's not even the problem.
Maybe not. He's part of the problem.
Yeah. Interesting to hear Brendan
Gale
say.
I agree with you, though. I thought it was a maturity of the industry that Lepich and Buckley got the 1 year, like the year to come and the 1 year extra. And I don't think they needed to give
there
the 2 years.
There would be clauses in the contract, though, wouldn't there? Where that, whereby they wouldn't have to pay him out the full whack, would they?
I know there's clauses in your contract, Sam, and they should be activated.
Beacon Rewind. While you're talking rubbish?
Are you talking from knowledge here about what happened to Carlton?
Carlton or to Carlton? He didn't get a seat.
Boy, there's been some handsome payouts, boys, but you wouldn't. Oh.
Brown paper bag? Or?
Yeah.
Beacon Rewind for mine is, and it's with sympathy more than anything, is just Eric McKenzie. As to his game on the weekend for a best and fairest and an All-Australian, you just feel, he's so lacking in confidence. It's amazing how a player of his quality could play his...
So what's the beacon? You want him to go back out and play that game again?
Yes, I think he'd like the chance, but I can't see him staying in that West Coast Eagles team.
What has happened to the web? This defence
happened to the Weagles.
That was the Weagles. The web, mate. Well, the web
been,
arguably took them to the ground.
I think you're right, and I don't think they can do anything. At this stage, it doesn't seem like they can...
Collingwood cut through them like a knife through butter the other day, and that just would not have happened 12 months ago.
No, Nick Nat's been a massive blow, but they... They're out of my premiership calculations. They can't win out in Melbourne, so it's automatic.
Is there only five left now that can win it?
Yes. Yeah, Adelaide, Geelong, Sydney, Giants and Hawks. I think that's probably right. Yep. Dogs is sad, isn't it? But
it is.
Another injury with Liberatore.
I'll come back to that. What's your beacon rewind?
My beacon rewind is the over-commercialisation of Boomer Harvey's record.
Right.
Nothing against Boomer's... himself, what a phenomenal effort, but just the amount of stuff that went on around.
What are you talking about?
Books and cars, and it was just,
it's a pretty big record.
I know, but
I was just saying that
it's like a money making, there's a lot of money making.
I was just saying the same thing to my Mazda dealer on the down at Ringwood Mazda.
I know he's a Mazda man, so you've chosen the wrong, he has crashed it, he's put the wrong petrol in, he's done everything, but they've stuck by him, so. That's amazing.
It's probably unrealistic for me to say it because that's the world we live in, but I'm sure...
I think it's an absolutely reasonable point.
When Michael Tuck wrote the...
Well, a lot of things weren't happening.
He turned up and played and he got the record.
Hey, when Hawthorn won a flag, they put bread in the cup and carried it around the MCG.
Can we talk about... Michael Tuck...
Tip-top.
Yeah, okay.
Michael Tuck didn't watch a second of Boomer's breaking his record either. Was watching the Melbourne Storm.
Well, it was a better game.
Back at home in Berwick. I said he was probably... Well, I called him at half-time. He said he probably picked a high-scoring game. But can we talk about North Melbourne and...
How did he answer the phone, Tucky, did he say? Michael Tuck, former record breaker?
Or? He said Michael Tuck speaking, which I thought was quite formal. Former
school,
record
isn't
holder.
It?
I was, yeah. I want to talk to you about North Melbourne, Mick, because we like to, if we can, give listeners of the podcast an idea of the story behind the stories. Now, we spoke this time last week about the whole Carey saga, the Boomer retraction. It all blew up again on the day of the game, this time on Saturday, when yourself and our colleague Jay Clark discovered a chapter as part of a chapter in his book, which concerned allegations of tanking, and he roped Carlton. Richmond, which was surprising for some, and the other club escapes
Melbourne.
Melbourne.
Yeah, well...
And it ran on the back page.
Yes.
And they were ropeable.
Where they were, because the book went out on the Wednesday. Of course, we already knew about the hush money allegations that were retracted before the book even went public. And Jay Clark either got a tip off or read the book himself and discovered this part about what
you definitely
think,
the former.
You think it was more the tip off there. I think Jay's a thorough reader of all things. Yeah. Anyway, and so this.
How many of those autobiographies do you read, by the way, those ones?
Well, I'll read
books.
The bomber one.
Yeah. Have you read that, have you?
No, but I'll...
Every week I'm going to ask you.
My bought me that for my birthday.
Yeah. My wife was reading David Copperfield, and every week I'd ask her, how's David Copperfield going? Oh, yeah. I reckon she finished it eventually, but...
I read The Cousins.
Took about 2 years.
Yeah. Anyway, so Jay
She'll
got,
be thrilled
Jay
I mentioned
got the
that,
tip,
by the way.
And we found this passage where it was pretty strong stuff from Boomer about tanking, and it's a legitimate news story. It's an extract from the book, so we wrote it on the Friday... And North Melbourne are of the view that it was sabotage and was deliberately put in there to try and take away from Boomer Harvey's record. I'll put it to North Melbourne that when you put out a book, people are going to read it and the interesting stuff gets reported on. So
they were upset at the timing, were they not?
Yeah, they cancelled an interview that the paper had organised for that day with one of our journalists. Just, I thought it was pathetic. If you're going to put out a book, it's going to be reported on.
And
read.
You were working Saturday night, were you not?
Yeah.
Wearing your hat for the AM station. And were you allowed in the rooms after the game?
Oh, someone mentioned I was lucky to be in there. I said, oh, well, kick me out then.
And?
They didn't, but, you know. I just thought...
Wasn't everyone in the rooms?
Ricky Ponting was there. They're all down there.
Sids.
What happened to the old AFL rule where you had to... put your name down and on a list before you're allowed in the rooms, this new integrity measure.
No, they were on a list.
There was 44,000.
It was an organised function, that was.
They were all on the list.
I saw the list with my own eyes.
It's on the list.
And they did not miss anything, North Melbourne. Peter Siddle and Ricky Ponting sat in a box to watch the game. Guess what box number they were in?
Let me guess, number 29.
You know it. They missed nothing. Commercial.
Anyway, just move on.
Okay, move on, we will. Have we talked enough about milestones yet, or is that...
Well, this is our 101st podcast.
That's right. Certainly, if you're looking at milestones on the weekend, started well from a match point of view. Let's do that one first, the Doggies and the Cats. And I just thought the Doggies were magnificent on Friday night. Again...
Listen to you.
There's no shame to be losing to the Cats.
Look at him, his head's wobbling off his shoulder.
I think there was more questions about the Cats still than the Dogs after that. I mean, the Dogs have just been cruel by injuries.
Liver was just a horrific blow because they were in that game.
Absolutely they were
and
in
I
it.
And I think, although we're going to get the results today, I think so, I might be speaking prematurely here, but the McRae injury might be a little bit worse. Might not be your typical 2 to 3 weeker either. Might be a tendon involved.
So it's been an extraordinary run of bad luck. Hasn't it?
Fluke Beveridge, the coach, cried last week. It might be just a full-blown whale this week. It's hard to recall a more cursed injury hit finals band side than the Western Bulldogs. Yep. Just the seriousness of the injuries and to who they've hit.
And didn't they front up well, though? I mean,
they have a crack. They just
they do.
The
love
ball,
the way they
man. They move the ball so well.
And that's what hurts Richmond supporters and hurts teams of other struggling clubs.
Carlton on the weekend lost again, but they had a crack.
Yeah. There's a system. It doesn't look like there's a system at Richmond at the risk of backtracking at the moment, or the players just don't know what they're supposed to be doing. Anyway.
Well, you work for Richmond, so... Yeah.
What's the best case scenario for them then, do you think, for the year?
They can beat North Melbourne this Saturday night, for sure.
Can they?
I think so.
Yeah, I think they can too.
Well, I've already declared that North might win another game, so yeah, I think they can.
I'll be tipping North in that game.
Oh, it's so tight. Predictions are fraught with danger. After all that, they're a game off second place.
Yeah.
Western Bulldogs, which is a crying shame of their injuries. They could easily be on top of the ladder if they're having a run like Adelaide.
Well, you look at this time of the year for the teams that aren't going to make it, and maybe the Dogs are obviously going to make the finals, but they're going to struggle to do as well as they could have. Tom Boyd, I mean, after the week he had, you're looking for things in games that you can grab and take forward.
It was awesome.
And he was fantastic the way he...
Pay rise?
I think
he
so.
He beat me to it, I was just going to say. Do you reckon he walked in this morning and said,
I was
listen.
Surprised that Luke Darcy put his name to those quotes, given he's such an influential figure down there.
Is he?
Is that a Beacon rewind?
Is he an influential figure down there?
I've heard he's the sort of quasi... president.
Right. I wouldn't think there'd be anything quasi about the president down there. I think Peter Gordon is well and truly running the place.
Regardless of all that, you're right.
Okay, quasi vice president. Oh, that's Sue Alberti. So, anyway, he's pretty big down there. It was your mate.
Yeah.
Are you saying he has no influence?
No influence. I just don't think. I'm not sure that he's a power breaker down there.
He doesn't know what to say.
I don't know what to say. I don't work with Das. There's no conflicts whatsoever.
What are you saying?
I'm not saying anything. I just didn't think he was a power broker down there. I like the way he goes about his work, but I didn't think there's any.
Anyway, I thought it was that just added to the. But a good on him.
It's got a bit awkward in here.
I don't know why, but anyway. It's not like we're talking about you and Richmond or him and Carl.
For God's sake.
When will you ever get over that? Well, what about the Cats then?
A dead horse.
Are they playing a bit different? Why the turnaround in the 3 weeks, do you think?
Geelong?
Yeah.
You tell us with your jumper.
Well, I'm not sure. I'm still not 100% convinced. I think it was good that they got the ball in there. Obviously, they had a size advantage over the Dogs that they won't have necessarily over other teams, but they definitely needed to move the ball quicker.
Well, Tomahawk's fully convinced?
No, I'm not. I'm not sure. I think we're trying to work out what it is that's not convincing about the Cats. And I think some of their handball work maybe isn't as good as some of the other teams.
Yeah.
Some of their entries a bit.
Oh, they are, yeah. But it comes down to ball movement a lot of the time.
As much as I love Paddy Dangerfield, and he's going to win the Brownlow. Oh, if he doesn't,
what
it will
are
be
you
able
say
to
here?
Well, for all Dangerfield's
he's a whack for danger,
all Dangerfield's brilliance. Wouldn't you like it?
He's turned that way a little bit more.
Overrated, you're saying?
No, not at all. When he's streaming out of the. And the reason I say this is because I went and got a haircut on the weekend, right? On that Friday morning.
Yeah, do you want to just turn and show the?
And he's a rabid Geelong supporter. And I sat down and we're talking about the Cats. And he goes, "Oh, Paddy Dangerfield. I don't know. I'm not convinced." I said, "What? Not convinced? How long is it going to take you?"
Does this person exist, or is this your thoughts?
No, it's fair dinkum. He said, "We're playing the Dogs tonight. I'd almost rather Marcus Bontempelli than Paddy Dangerfield." I said, "You're going to have to explain yourself, Jim." He said, "Paddy Dangerfield, for all his brilliance, he rushes his disposal. He's very 1980s with his kicks. Long bombs inside 50, sits it on players' heads." And he said, his words, "I've noticed in the last couple of weeks when he's had slightly less influence and one-dimensional dominance, i.e. the only player on the park doing anything, that Geelong has started to play better footy." Because when he dominates, he's so dominant. Players like Duncan.
Your mate needs to go and watch a few Richmond games.
Yeah, I know. It's first world problems, isn't it?
No, I think you've got a point.
I sort of thought what he was
doing. No, I don't agree with him. I mean, he does so much that's good. That's probably the area that is not his best, not his great strength. But he kicked three goals, absolute blinding goals that they needed.
This guy was speaking pre-game. So, yes, he has had a blinder. But what he was saying is he's such a massive force and presence that those guys who are great users like your Duncans, and he reeled off four or five other names, they almost get forgotten out there because Danger's just got the blinkers on, barging through 10 and bombing it inside 50.
But I'd take him still.
I think you would.
I think I'd take him any day of the week.
One of my pet hates, and I shouldn't even mention it, is how they pay out on the Brownlow, like they did for him. I know it's probably another one of your clients, Hutto, but I just didn't like it, especially when Dusty's going to win it anyway.
Do you seriously think that anyone can beat...
Well, the Herald Sun leaderboard, and if you're going to say that all the Herald Sun journos don't know what they're talking about...
You just go to the stats, don't you?
Well, Sam, you give...
Mick doesn't cover games.
Oh, does he?
It's in his
contract. He's too good for that.
Yeah, it's in his contract.
Maybe he should start...
Should see a bit more footy.
I need to break something. Couldn't break an egg at the moment. Dangerfield's only two ahead of Dusty, so you wouldn't be paying out on the Herald Sun Player of the Year. Anyway, moving on.
Do you think Dusty...
He had a pretty... He had 28 on the weekend, but probably didn't get a vote.
You think Dusty can challenge Paddy, or it's all over?
Of course he can.
No, he can't.
Oh, please.
All right, let's move on to GWS.
What if he got injured or suspended in the next 4 weeks?
Well, if he gets suspended, he won't win it.
Dangerfield,
so why would you pay out on it?
If Paddy Dangerfield doesn't win the Brownlow.
You're falling
down. I know.
You're doing exactly what
track this, can you, mate?
That's exactly what they want you to do, Mick.
Talk about it.
Falling right into the trap.
Yeah, unbelievable. We talked a lot about how bad Richmond were, but what about how good GWS were? I was having this discussion with...
just had to show up.
As compared to the Dats and
with our producer, who hasn't had a really good start to the day so far, when he didn't put the name of the show on the sheet, but...
Because he couldn't remember it.
But he raised the point about... we were talking two things here. One, Cornelio.
Yeah, his
season. Could he be a smoky? I actually said no way because I don't think the umpires will see him. But he has had a sensational season.
Johnny Famishon strikes again. And a lot of those impressive games,
Incognito.
A lot of those impressive games, Hutto, where he's been incognito because he's been running with other players.
Yes.
And he's been racking up the numbers at the same time. So he's been super.
Okay, actually, the other question.
Scott Dooley, you know, the comedian, is he? You just talk amongst yourselves. I'll find the tweet.
What is he talking about? I hate it when Mick goes off the reservation like this.
The other question
Scott
I want to...
Dooley says he's got 52,000 followers, promising local comedian. And he said on the weekend... he said, Mick Warner's Bower should wear number 24 joke is my highlight of the season. Right, and he's a funny guy.
How many of those 52,000 followers were paid for by Scott Dooley? Is he real?
I don't know. I just noticed the tweet.
The other thing I was going to ask that our producer raised is, who plays...
He's done a good job, this producer. Yeah. Really,
it's the first time he's got two items in for the whole year. But
he has a name, too.
We can't tell anyone that because someone will steal him. Because he's
Oral
so
B,
good.
The dentist.
Can't show you his name on the podcast.
Mick, his name is. Just in case you didn't know, Mick. Who plays the best football? Which team, at their best, plays the best?
Toss up for mine.
Hawthorne v Sydney or Giants?
You think Hawthorne are boring? I think it's a flip.
I don't mean the best to watch. I mean the best.
Yeah, we didn't mean to watch.
Mate. Oh, not to watch.
Not
aesthetics.
To watch.
So what's your question?
Who plays the best? Who is the best team at their best?
Well, probably Hawthorne.
Do you think Hawthorne?
Well, best as it gets.
No, I don't. No, well, I'm not sure it's clear cut. This year.
Giants?
I think it's close. Because Mick was talking about Geelong.
Just this year? I think maybe Geelong.
You think maybe Geelong?
I think Geelong's very best is as good as it gets in the comp this year.
Yeah, well,
but you just don't see it often enough.
I tend to think the Giants.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Good.
So we see the game a bit differently.
You don't see the game at all. You don't work weekends. We just discussed that.
I work
that.
Weekends, absolutely.
Yeah, he's moonlighting with his other
mob. Right, his other employer. Yeah. If we're going to get on this topic.
Well, anyway.
Right, move on.
Hawthorn and Carlton. There's some
Jack Silvani, the best seven possession game I've seen for some time.
The best thing about that game was it was
Siren?
Within 100 kilometres of Bamboo.
Did you watch the game?
No.
It was a great game.
No, I've seen some of it, but I didn't watch it all.
No, they were
I was doing the other game.
They never looked like winning, mind you, but very admirable performance.
No, they've had a really
if
good
they could
month,
hit a target,
actually, Carlton, haven't they?
They would have won. At one point, they had Hawthorn pinned for a long time. Just couldn't find that little bit of polish that they've been lacking.
For all
season.
The talk about Carlton, they're still one game behind Richmond on the ladder. So that's just...
Well, mate, people had them 10 games behind Richmond on the ladder start of the season.
And they've got
you're all supposed to be up this pointy end here.
They've got
we're
some winnables
to be down here.
They've got some winnables to come, haven't they? Their last month, it looked like it was going to be a horror month with Adelaide, West Coast, Sydney,
they dropped the bundle
and
for
Hawthorn.
A little bit.
Adelaide wasn't great, but their next three, they could have... They were in all of them.
Yeah. So they just lacked that little bit of polish, but the system is terrific.
Did you see anything in Hawthorn then that... Makes you think that they...
Just got the job done, didn't they? Mm. It's amazing, though. You take Paul Pioppolo out of that forward line.
And Cyril,
obviously. You're right.
Yeah, amazing.
And Buddy.
You take two of the best players out of their forward line. It's just nowhere near as good.
For small men, they have massive influence. The energy just...
Are you saying there's something wrong with being a small man or not?
Well, they can be, yeah. They carry such massive importance, don't they, those two blokes?
Oh, they do. Yeah, well, it's part of what Hawthorn are, isn't it, really? They're the turnovers in the forward half and then the small men can get it done.
I need to ask you this.
Mm.
We don't see Sam Mitchell tagged very often, do we? But it happened on the weekend, and it happened, I think, tellingly, under the instruction of Brendan Bolton, who spent so much time there. Sam Kerridge went to Sam Mitchell, and he had 22, but not much influence.
You're spot on.
And you look at last year's final series. What did Mitchell go? 35, 34, 36, 34, whatever it was. I mean, jeepers, we hear it's so hard to do. Just tag the guy.
I was watching him against Richmond the week before.
Jeepers.
And he just ran around doing everything he wanted without an opponent. Richmond, I'm like, what?
He's too good a player. I understand the theory. You might let, you know, other players waltz around on their own and do whatever they want. They're not going to do the damage. This guy's going to do the damage.
No. It just takes me back to the days with Rod Curley coaching the Pirates when he refused to put the best players in.
Do you know the story behind that?
No.
Yeah, last week he told us.
Move on, Sam.
Yeah, let's move on to Collingwood and West Coast. We've talked a little about the Eagles. Just one more on them. How much difference will Nick Nat make when he returns this week?
He's back this week.
This week, yeah.
Massive difference.
Minimal.
What?
Minimal. They can't stop the opposition from scoring, Mick.
Yeah, well, getting the ball
and
in
they can't win away
is always
from
a good start.
They can't win outside Perth. So,
could they beat Hawthorn in a couple of weeks' time over there?
No. Not on Carlton.
Yeah, they could.
No, they can't.
They're like flat track bullies. It'd be like the Australian cricket team going to Sri Lanka with those turning pitches, Hawthorn going over there, as we saw in the finals last year. Yeah, I think they'll win that game.
Okay. And we're going to analyse the cricket.
Real strange logic.
That was bad, wasn't it?
That was. It was great. I love the turning wickets.
Oh, I know, but to lose when you bowl a team out
for 117. Yeah, fantastic. The Pies.
If that guy's still in jail, by the way, the streaker. You see...
I missed that.
The first day the covers came out, the pissed Aussies run out and done the streak, and he was thrown in prison. I think he's still in there.
Yeah, all right. Yeah. Fair enough. Yeah. Just Collingwood, they're going to...
Thanks for your support.
They're going to get away with this season with a few things, I reckon, aren't they, the Pies? They're actually going to... They've learnt some things that hasn't turned out the way they would have liked.
Certainly hasn't, but I reckon 2016, Udo, it will be the year that that goes down as the year that Darcy Moore inherited the forward crown, won't it? Now, you called this game.
I did.
He was unbelievable. It was just a cry. I don't know what could have happened. It could have been an amazing performance.
Yeah, but it was so disappointing. And great thing, they still won.
Five contested grabs in less than an hour of play.
I do think, though, that he was given a bit of freedom to run at the ball, and other defenders will be making sure that... He can't run at the ball. Yeah, well, just by their system,
But there's a real confidence. There's confidence about him, isn't there? There's a strut almost.
Oh, there is.
That says,
fantastic.
Hey, I'm Darcy Moore, get out of the way. And that's what I think we love to watch.
Oh, it's brilliant.
And his hands
brilliant.
Are great. He gets high. He's athletic.
Does Travis
no.
play next year? Like, where does he play? Or?
Oh, God, this is...
I know it's the same old question.
That's a hard one, isn't it? Look, in the words of Mick Warner, he's more likely than unlikely.
Well, Cox, Jesse White's still having a crack. Will Cox come back in for him next week, do you think, Cloak? Could he be dropped before the end of the year?
Oh, there was a whisper that Cloak was going to be dropped for this game. It might have happened, and they might have changed their mind. I was told that he was categorically out, and then I saw him in. So.
Well, Cox hadn't played, though. He's now played, I think.
Yeah, don't know. I honestly don't know. Did he do enough yesterday, Travis, in your mind?
On Saturday?
Saturday.
Oh, he didn't do much, no. He looked back to how he looked before he had a couple of good games. So
they've done enough, haven't they, in the back end of the season to say that... 8 weeks ago, though,
he and
Hardwick were being compared, Buckley, but Bucks is safe as houses now. Ace played all right.
Ace is playing better. Reed has had an excellent year. Howe, they've found a spot for, and he's looked good. I mean, the question is going to be their forward line, isn't it? Hopefully, and Elliott.
Injury is the big alibi. Otherwise, I think there would have been massive heat.
They've had six debutants, 39 players have played, so they'll get something out of the year, but it'll still be heat. It'll be on next year.
What about, speaking of debutants, the Sydney Swans, quickly, just changing topic, second most debutants in the comp this year.
It's extraordinary,
that
isn't it?
That is an amazing stat, isn't it, given where they are on the ladder, their contention.
Their history.
Who's their recruiter? Richmond should go and pay him.
Kinnear Beetson.
Richmond, these are the people the Tigers need to be speaking to.
Yep. And should be. Yep. And you'd hope they are.
No, it's been astonishing. I wasn't sure. I mean, I thought they'd definitely win, given what was on the line over there. But given Freo had run, this is what concerns me about Geelong a little bit. Freo ran Geelong really close 2 weeks ago. And Sydney could not have smashed them by more with 8 or 9 young players in their team.
You know what I like about Sydney as well, though? Because I think we sat here a few weeks ago and said, one-dimensional, they're a bit...
Heaney?
You know, buddy-centric. Heaney, back from the spell, amazing. But their midfielders now are kicking goals. So Kennedy might have played the best... This is no mean feat. Might have played the best game he's ever played. 45 and 3.
The horse,
Tom Mitchell, 41. Kick 3. Parker's on the scoreboard most weeks. So these midfielders now, they might have the best midfield in the comp. Now they're starting to kick goals as well. I think that makes them really dangerous.
Buddy hasn't been kicking many lately, has he?
No, kicked a... Kick the pair. But that's great for Geelong. I'd be thrilled with that.
What about Fremantle? What is going on? Just injuries or?
Well, this is my Is It Just Me, actually.
Oh, good.
Have they somehow escaped the heat that they should have copped? Because this fall from
definitely.
Grace.
But they're not in Victoria, where all...
And is that it? I mean, or has Ross Lyon got...
What's the five-year deal?
Has Ross Lyon got us hoodwinked, the five-year deal? Not saying sack him, but this is a side that was... At the very, it's the biggest, statistically, the biggest fall in a year that we've ever seen. They're 16th, 3-15, with a percentage of 79.
How much do you put down to no Sandy, no Fife?
Ah, no sizeable. Johnson. Sizeable, of course, but not the be-all and end-all.
No.
I reckon even if you put those three in, would they be in the eight? Probably not.
But as someone said in our meeting, if you took Dangerfield, Zach Smith and Selwood out of Geelong side, they might struggle. But they have. It has been staggering. It's all about next year.
So the thing is, those three players, you probably beat all the bottom 10 sides. Almost all.
But they haven't
of them.
Been close in no, some
they haven't.
Games. They've been absolutely wiped off the map.
Yeah.
My, is it just me? Is it if Clarko wins the fifth flag, are we starting to talk about statues at the MCG?
And it'd be a relatively cheap statue, wouldn't it? Too.
What do you mean?
I wouldn't have to. Wouldn't have to.
Well, that's my thing. What pose would we have him in, Clarko?
I've got to be careful what we say.
What would it be, do you think?
We'd get people to tweet in, maybe, to see the footy. Scott Dooley and the likes, these people.
Is he real, Scott? Have you commissioned him or created his account?
Anyway, 50,000
He's a comedian, so that's obviously why he's
What pose would he be in? I'll leave that one hanging.
What are your suggestions? Mine is...
clipboard,
is it,
I imagine.
Is it just me? Is it just me, or does no one want to win the Coleman medal?
I think they all want to win it.
What, you think they're going out of their way to
No,
win?
No, I'm just saying they're all slowed down at the top.
I think it might just be you.
Trying to work out who is going to win the Coleman medal, and it's really hard.
Is
Tom Lynch.
A two-horse race?
Tom Lynch is definitely
in it. Yep.
He's in it.
Right.
He kicked two goals in the first half, and I thought, he's going to kick four or five and
so
catch
up. So he's third,
up.
Is he not?
He's third, yeah.
So he's third in a side that, they might have come good lately, he's 14th on the ladder and kicked bugger all on the scoreboard. That's an amazing achievement, isn't it?
He's all Australian, isn't he, Tom Lynch?
You'd hope so.
He's gone past Jeremy Cameron, hasn't he? Is the best young forward.
How many
is
he kicked now, Tom Lynch? 48?
Oh, no, he's in the 50s.
58 it might be then.
Yeah.
Such a
presence. I reckon he's all Australian.
Who would you have? Lynch, Hogan, or Cameron, or there's one more I'm missing. Darcy Moore.
Well, Lynch on form is the most accomplished player right at the moment. Yeah. Cameron probably second.
Yeah.
And that lot.
Sort of when he was lining up for that kick in that spot after the Sorimonomy is Steve Kernahan. Remember the Steve Kernahan kick from 1993 when he put it out in the floor?
Well,
all he had to do was score to tie the game.
There was actually that happened in the Herald Sun Shield.
What happened there? Were you at the ground?
I was at the ground, The kid had the shot from about 35 to 40 metres out.
Angle.
They were 1 point down. It was
you would have kicked it.
45 degree angle.
How far out? Bench watching.
35 to 40. It wasn't an easy shot.
And he put it in the full.
He kicked it out in the full. Shouted for him, really. I'm not sure who the kid was.
Would that have gone into extra time? Or?
Yes, because the siren actually didn't ring. This is a taste of what this rule is, because they were 1 point down, and the siren didn't ring, even though the 20 minutes was up.
What rule?
Well, isn't this the, when we're in extra time...
Oh, they don't tell you.
What
is going on, honey?
They don't ring the siren until there's a result.
Sudden death, in effect.
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
It's not going to happen in the AFL, is it?
Yeah, that's
right. So they play 5 minutes, you score a level after 5 minutes, no siren, just keep playing.
Just keep playing.
Instead of having a whole
And in
period.
This case, so this is, I didn't realise this could happen, but in this case, they were 1 point down, but he was having a shot for goal, so they didn't ring the siren.
Right.
So they didn't, and then the moment it went out on the full, the siren rang. So that must be the rule. I don't know if it's the same in the AFL, but anyway.
No, we don't like stories like that.
No. What about Adelaide Essendon yesterday? Danaher
what a game.
Was great. Eddie Betts.
He's awesome, isn't he?
Isn't he fantastic?
One of those
How
players.
Many?
He just,
six, was it?
He just
five
and four.
Eight one day.
Four direct assists, I think. And some of those
snaps. Is he the best small forward ever?
Ever. Well,
Lee Matthews
is
pretty good.
I believe he was a rover. That's really great.
Milne's obviously in the conversation because he did it for so long, didn't
he? Does Dakes count in that
conversation? No, he was a medium forward, Dakes.
Okay.
You're either a big or a small forward. You can't be medium.
What are you talking about? Of course you can be.
No.
Can you be medium?
I don't know. Is he a third tall? Don't you normally do it as...
small forward. Mercurial.
Small, pretty tall, small.
He was a half forward flanker, really, wasn't he, in the old... way that they
wish
used to
I knew
play.
His height, because I reckon he'd be 180 plus. Anyway. Okay.
Yeah, he'd definitely be 180.
So you have a, it's what,
certainly his last few years have
been
absolutely red hot, haven't they?
And he's just so good for the game.
Carlton.
Did you see his tweet? He had a tweet before the game that he told his son he was going to kick five. He kicked five. I just love his bravado.
I reckon his goal was the equal of his one from earlier in the year.
The left foot.
The left foot, because it was just...
I love that one on the band.
I know, but it was just...
The angle.
The angle.
To bend it back.
He had no time to do it, and he just got the angle right.
Really, this game was always about percentage because you look at the ladder.
Well, I think that's the
it's going to split sides. It's going to be the difference between a home final or not, a top four or not.
I reckon everyone now needs to learn where the app is on their phone of the where their calculator app is on the phone, because the live ladder is going to get a voice control, whatever that means. The live ladder is going to get a severe punishment, severe workout on the TV coverage.
Not by Richmond
supporters. Over the next month.
Yeah.
In fact, I think I saw Titus O'Reilly tweet that they might even put it up during other shows as well. Just keep the live ladder up the whole time.
Scott Dooley went with it as well.
And GWS, good percentage booster for them. So
Scott Dooley.
Is that rhyming slang?
Anyway.
Essendon? Cooked, obviously, again.
Yeah.
Danaher played well, didn't he?
He did.
His coach said he's in the elite, so he's banging on the door.
If he can kick straight.
Yeah.
He
played well.
That's a big give.
It's one of the great questions at the moment.
Putting.
Yeah.
If I could get it in the hole rather than three putt.
Yeah. I think he spoke about it after the game, Woosha, but they hit the wall a few weeks back, got a little second win, but for all those top-up players, there were 10, and I think he was saying they haven't 8 or 9 to play, realistically, most games.
Yeah.
Instead, what's it been, 3?
Yeah,
four?
Hardly any.
So that's exposed the underbelly, and that underbelly now has tried valiantly, the kids I speak of. They're just cooked. They've had enough.
Yeah, and he's saying Supercoach watch warning Zach Merritt to be rested. That's not good with
that is a warning for me.
Upon us.
Been excellent too, hasn't he, Zach Merritt?
Supercoach, how'd you go on the weekend, Mick? Because last game of the season, and it was between you and Mark Robinson for the last finals place. And
ninth.
Ninth man.
A Tiger man finishing ninth.
How good is it?
We take ninth.
That's terrible, Muriel.
Oh, God.
What about the Demons to finish off with, boys? Jack delivers.
Ando, you're back on next week, Ando. Yeah, cheers, mate.
Has there been a more maligned player than Jack Watts?
Who's come good.
Who's come good. Yeah, it was great to see. You sort of almost want players like that to play well, don't you? But
is there a story in this about just some players take time, or is it not? Or not?
I think the story with Jack is ever allowed him to play in the same position for
How old is he? 5 seconds.
I don't know.
33, I think.
I don't know if he can wait that long, Hutto.
Well, he was eligible for free agency, so he's been in the system that long, isn't he?
Mm. They've allowed him to play forward, and Roosie's obviously a magnificent man manager for whatever you think of him as a coach.
Absolutely. It's a great story for Roosie, isn't it?
They've got a really tight relationship, the two of them. So it's clearly worked. It was great to see. 3 goals, and that wasn't an easy kick, speaking of different.
No, that was a fantastic kick.
And then they almost brought it unstuck with Bernard Vince's...
It was one of the most funniest games to call. I loved it when Jason Dunstall got so upset that he said, I've had enough! I'm going skiing!
I can understand why Melbourne supporters go skiing, he said, because the frustration they put you through watching this. Yeah.
It's interesting he's refusing to be the coach of the Allies in the new game. Got any intel there?
In the new game?
You know, in the bye, we've got this Ted Whitten game.
Oh, yeah.
And he's being asked to be coach, but he won't do
it. The kick and giggle game?
Oh, it's very serious this year.
Right, okay. Mm. But he's said no.
Apparently.
Why did he say no? Would he have to, deal with people?
Probably.
He might have to, meet and greet or something as part of the job, so he said, no, I'm not doing it.
Yeah.
Mm. Anyway.
Well, we still recall your story fondly of the walk back over the bridge.
Oh, yeah. Got photos of that, too. Next week,
yeah.
What Richmond, Collingwood, suddenly a massive game. Richmond just got to show some fight, don't they?
They do. Mick, what's your level of this? Is
of interest? Zero.
Yeah.
Mm.
No finals implications. Nah, but
it's all about the draft pick now for Richmond.
Oh, so you want them to lose?
Pretty much, yeah.
You're tanking?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. I still want to know, Prestia, or you keep your first round pick?
Hmm. Well, if they keep falling...
Mm. It's getting better and better, that first-round pick, isn't it?
Because you think Gold Coast and Carlton will go past Richmond. So that would be pick 1, 2, 3, 4 that Richmond's going to have. So would you pick Prestia, pick 4? It's a big call.
Mm. No, I don't think you'd do Prestia for pick 4 on its own. You might do some other swaps or whatever. But
yeah, we'll throw Yaron in and...
The game, the real game, is on the Saturday night, isn't it?
Doggies and the Roos?
Yeah. Dogs every chance, I reckon.
I will be going with North Melbourne in that one.
Okay.
Dogs.
Mm.
I think North forward line. I know without weight, but...
How good was Drew Petrie?
Yeah, but yeah. Drew was great. And he and Del Sando have both sort of come good, I reckon, a bit in the last few weeks. So gives him some hope. Sean Higgins, I saw him yesterday at the footy, and he said he's 3 weeks away.
Well, so that means one game left for the year. I think we should wind this up now.
Righto.
We're a bit flat and...
What have you given it?
I've just got a text here that I've got to go on.
What have you given us out of 10 today?
Are you Johnny Famichon?
I am.
Okay.
I'm Johnny.
Yeah.
That's it for this week's Super Footy podcast. You can find us again next Monday afternoon on the Super Footy website, iTunes and SoundCloud, and for all other news, don't forget to follow Mick or Sam, maybe not Dipper, at Super Footy on Twitter and use the hashtag SuperFootyPod to get involved with comments or questions ahead of the next episode. That's it for today. Catch you next week. Have a great week.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.